Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome everyone to another edition of the Late Shift, the All NBA podcast. I am Rodney Fisher, and joined, of course, by my NTX game co-host, Royce Fisher, and also Omi D. What's going on, fellas?
Hey, what's going on, Rodney? What's going on, Omi?
What's going on, Roy?
All right, well, guys, welcome to the All NBA podcast, All NBA show, where we break down the NBA, talk about everything that happened the week before, and also talk a little bit about what's going on in the week to come as well. So let's jump right into it because we've got a pretty short show. It's only 20 minutes. Again, you guys can always go back and download the show by going to ntxgame.com, be a subscriber where you can get these type of shows for free. And also make sure you tune in for our live broadcast throughout the week as we cover the NBA, high school football, and everything good in North Texas. So let's jump right into it and start with the biggest win of the week. This is when we go back and look at the week before, see what games were really critical and what teams put out some big, big wins. I guess I'll kick us off by going to the biggest win for me this past week had to be watching the Mavericks beat the Clippers when the Clippers came back to town with DeAndre Jordan. And we know what happened with DeAndre Jordan and Mark Cuban in the offseason, and It just looked good to have Chandler Parsons on the court, to have Wes Matthews and everybody on the court, and them to get the win like that was great. What about you guys?
I have to agree with you, Rodney. Having, you know, being at that game and that, you know, seeing the crowd reaction, and you know, they got their revenge back on DeAndre. And I thought the crowd, you know, every time he touched the ball, they booed. And then for the Mavericks to absolutely win that game, and the whole Chris Paul at like 2 points the first half, I thought that was amazing. So that was my favorite, too.
I'm going to say, of course, one of my faves is the Mavericks game, but I'm going to say it's the game from, I believe, last night where the Mavericks won over the Rockets. And the Mavericks bench put some impressive numbers out. Felton put up, I think it was like 24 points last night, but the bench did really well with having Dirk and I believe Wesley Matthews and Chandler Parsons all on the bench last night getting some rest. They did pretty well, especially to pull off a win against a team like Houston, which they have a tough record against. Houston hates them and we hate Houston. Go Dallas. I think that was a big impressive win to see what the bench could pull off against a team like Houston.
Yeah, you mentioned that game, and to think they played that game without Wes Matthews, without Dirk, without Chandler Parsons, and able to beat, you know, a Houston team who really were intact except for Dwight Howard. It was pretty impressive.
I have to agree.
Now, Russ, you mentioned that Clippers game.
Points.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Russ.
No, Mavs were up 25 points at one time. I thought that was very impressive. Like you say, to have a bench come in, play so well. I was impressed with Powell. He played a great game. The guard play was excellent. So I thought they did. Raymond Felton had a really good game. I thought they did good without the starters.
The interesting thing to me about that game, too, was the fact that the Bears really went down there expecting to lose that game. You know, it was the second night of a back-to-back. It's the first game of a long road trip that they have. They got the next, I think it's 13 games, and 10 of those games on the road over this stretch. So I think they were expecting, you know what, let's just put these guys in and see what happens, and they come out with a big win. So, you know, you might be right, Omi D. I think that may have been the biggest win of the week, you know. But again, there are a lot more of the teams in the NBA than the Dallas Mavericks, although we're very Dallas Mavericks-centric. So we'll jump right into what happened last week that surprised you. And for me, what surprised me last week had to be, and it's a little close and near and dear to me, was the way that Kobe Bryant started the season, as bad as he was. You know, I got a chance to watch him live in L.A. and watch him miss shots. And then he comes back the next night and shoots air balls. And then he takes, you know, two games off, comes back and plays in that Maverick game this past Friday. But, you know, he took two games off. He missed practice. And for a guy like Kobe Bryant, who's so competitive and always trying to be the top of the game, that was the biggest surprise to me, to see the way that he kind of just, you know, just all of a sudden turned into the, you know, well, yeah, turned into the 200 best player in the league all of a sudden.
Age is caught up with Kobe. I've said it. Now, he's a great player, don't get me wrong, but the guy's been playing, I'm going to say, grown man style basketball since he was probably starting to become a young man. His body was still developing, but Kobe's put in some good years in the NBA, and now, I mean, honestly, it's about time for him to start working his way out of the NBA. So I think we'll see a lot more of Kobe on the bench this year versus the last couple of years.
That doesn't even sound right, Kobe on the bench.
Right. But for as much as he's done, he's got a lot of wear and tear on his body. He's been playing ever since the kid. And like I said, that's a lot of games, including playoff games, championship runs, the injuries. But my other biggest surprise this week is the start Golden State has started out with, man, 8-0, man. Unbelievable. These guys have continued what they, you know, championship last year, man. But for them to get out the gate so quickly, man, and so offensive-minded, man, and Steph Curry, I think that was another big surprise for me.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about Golden State, too.
Yeah, I was going to say my biggest surprise is going to come from Golden State with that start. I mean, those guys are undefeated right now. I guess I haven't been on the road, so I haven't seen what's going on tonight. But starting off that way, and then some of the shots that Steph Curry is taking – on the court this season, I mean, they've just been unbelievable shots. Half the time, mere mortals wouldn't dare take a one-handed three-pointer from almost half court. But you're talking about Steph Curry; nothing's impossible. So,
yeah, the other surprise for me too on the opposite end is the surprise of, you know, how kind of lackadaisical, I guess, is a good way to put it, or how bad some of the teams that I thought in the West would be very competitive have been. And I'm talking about teams like Memphis, who is 5-6 right now, who New Orleans has only got one win. They're 1-9. And these are playoff teams of last year. And you know, you look at the way the West is supposed to be the best conference, but yet a lot of these teams are below 500 or game over 500. I think that's really surprising to me.
Yeah, that too, and especially New Orleans. Everybody expected them to actually come out of the West and the top three seeded teams, but for them to get off such a bad start, and Anthony Davis, especially not carrying his team like he did last year, to be 1-9 is surprising. Like you said, the Clippers too, they were actually picked to win this division, and they're below 500.
Yeah, I have to agree. I'm a little shocked at this point right now that the NBA West, the Western Conference, is looked at as the flack right now. I'm definitely used to seeing teams like Philadelphia and some of those Atlantic Eastern Conference teams sucking it up. And there are some that are below 500 right now. But overall, there are more teams, especially teams that you expected, playoff contenders, Memphis and New Orleans, which are doing horrible now. But, you know, this is a long NBA season. We've seen this time and time again. A team starts out really pitiful, and then after All-Star break, you know, as long as they're, you know, somewhere maybe 10 games behind and things start going their way, they're able to make some turns. So it's still early, but it's still early enough for some of these teams to start being on the warning track, I would say.
Yeah, because to me, I think that now with – I think every game counts in the West. I think it's going to be so many teams kind of jumbled up in the 1-8 slot that, you know, every game right now counts. And the way they made the schedule this year, where you have a lot of teams playing teams twice, you know, so early in the season. I mean, a lot of times these division opponents you have, you're only going to see them four times. And if you get two losses to them early in the year, that doesn't really help you out that much for the rest of the season. So very, very interesting. You know, the other thing, too, is as we transition and walk through the rankings real fast, you know, they start the season with this new kind of playoff kind of deal where they will rank the teams one through eight, no matter what division they're in or
best record
or whatever. Yeah, best record. So I'm looking at the Eastern Conference rankings right now. You got four teams out of the five teams in the Eastern Conference Central would all be in the playoffs if they started right now. That's Cleveland, Chicago, Indiana, Detroit, and Milwaukee's 5-5. So, I mean, you can literally have every team from the Central make it to the playoffs. So right now the rankings in the Eastern Conference is Cleveland 1, you got Atlanta 2, you've got Chicago 3, Miami 4, Toronto 5, you got Indiana 6, Detroit 7, and Boston at the 8th seed. So, I mean, if you take a look at the Eastern Conference and see how these teams are kind of stacked up, I guess no surprise Cleveland's at 1, but you look at teams like Detroit at 7, Indiana at 6, Toronto at 5. I mean, a lot of teams have better records than some of the teams in the West.
Absolutely. Yeah, a big surprise for me, and they used to watch them Wizards, not even in the top 8.
Yeah.
That's a big surprise.
Big surprise for me is Boston, where they are still ranked and still holding a little noise in that division, but I mean, you can in that conference, but you know, like you said, it's a long, long season. But I'm very surprised that Boston is in the top 8. I was looking for them to kind of fall off another season again, so we'll see where they roll.
Yeah, and Boston has they've got 5 wins, but you've got, you know, New York has 5 wins, Milwaukee has 5 wins, Charlotte and Orlando have 5 wins, so really they're just only hold on to the AC because they played one less game than one or two less games than all those other teams. So it's really the Eastern Conference is looking even better than the West. In the West, you got, you know, of course, we talked about Golden State being number 1. They're undefeated at 11-0. You got San Antonio at 7-2. Oklahoma City, 6-4. You've got Dallas. Right now, Dallas is in the playoffs at a 4th seed at 6-4. You got the Clippers at 6-4, Phoenix 5-4, Utah, and then Denver. But missing from that whole kind of top 8 right now is there is no Memphis, there is no Houston, there is no New Orleans. But any surprises on that list for you? I'm surprised by Mavs being in the 4th seed. You know, I thought they would just kind of hang around the 8th and 7th seed the whole season. And then I'm even surprised about Denver and Utah being at 8-7.
Yeah, Utah. Utah is a surprise. Denver is definitely a surprise, like being down there at 7-8. But the Mavs at 4, you know, that's a pretty decent seeding for a team that I say is, I'm not going to say is in a constant state of rebuilding, but every season we get a bunch of new pieces that we didn't have last season. And so for them to be playing this well at this point in the season, like getting the chemistry together, I'm happy with that at number 4 for the Mavs.
Yeah, me too. But Utah and Denver, I don't look for them to hold those spots too much longer because you have Memphis, Houston, and Portland right there behind them. And I look for those teams to make a run late on in the season. You know, we always said not how you start is how you finish. And like I said, I think Houston just got off to a bad start. I think Memphis also got off to a bad start. But I look for those two to replace the 7th and 8th spot pretty soon, you know, from Phoenix and Utah.
Yeah. Again, these rankings, of course, it's very, very early, but it's always good to kind of see where teams are and see what teams need to do to get back in there because I think both are going to be very, very tight with this new kind of rule, whether you take the top 8 records, no matter what, it's going to be tight for both conferences all the way through. All right, our big topic for the night, of course, is to talk about the Golden State Warriors, who are 11-0. 9 of those 11 wins all came against Western Conference teams. You mentioned Steph Curry. Steph Curry right now is leading the league in points per game. You know, of course, he's leading the league in three-pointers made, three-pointers attempted, all those scoring-type categories. And they're doing it all without their head coach, who is still trying to come back from a real bad back injury. And, you know, Luke Walton's been the coach. So the question is, you know, can this team break that kind of pedestal 72-win record that Michael Jordan and his Bulls have set? I mean, can this team surpass that 72 wins, or can they get to 72? Omi D?
Well, I want to say, and you referenced the great Bulls team that Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen put together, that impressive 72-win season. And you're looking at the Golden State Warriors. And I thought about this question a lot today. And I'm going to say I don't think that they're going to be able to pull it off this season. I could see maybe upper 60s, but I just think the West is one of those conferences that as the year goes on, those teams are going to get better. But Golden State is just playing so well right now that by the time those teams are picking it up, Golden State will be probably locked down the number one seed at that point. So no 72 win, but definitely some upper 60s. Yeah, and that might be due to the fact that once their coach comes back, let's see where the chemistry and everything goes with the play calls and how they're running the game.
Russ, you think this team can get the 72-10?
Absolutely. I think they can do it the way they start out. And this is without Klay Thompson playing his best ball yet. Actually, Curry has been carrying the team, and, you know, they got the other guys like Barnes. All these other guys helping out, Iguodala and all those. But Klay Thompson hadn't even played good so far in these 11 games. He hadn't even got hot yet. He get the other part of the splash buttons going. I think they could beat anybody. And this team, like I said, Andrew Bogut, I think he played his first game. He's been out. So much talent on his team. And these guys are all year older. They played together for a while. Smartest thing they could have done was kept this core group together. And they have such a deep bench with Barbosa, you know. So I can see these guys going. I mean, they proved it last year that they can beat everybody, and I think they can prove it again this year.
You know, Steph Curry is averaging 33 points a game right now in the 11 games he's played. And the Warriors they've been doing everything in the first quarter. Their offensive rating in the first quarter alone is 115.9. Right. So they're getting these early leads on teams, and teams are not able to catch up. You know, I mentioned to you both when we were doing the game this past Friday. I'm sitting on a plane watching Steph Curry go for 46, you know, and this is the game when, you know, they could have easily lost. I mean, they don't have to win every game, but I think the motivation of not having their coach, you know, because right. A lot of times you come back from a title and there's a little bit of kind of, you know, cloudy mind about, okay, we got the title, we're good. But these guys are young enough and hungry enough to really go after that 72 win total. I it would be great to see it happen, but I just don't know if any team could match what Jordan them did. I mean, I can see them getting to 70. I can see them winning 71, 69, but to beat that 72, man, that's
meant to be broken. Nobody's
that's going to be hard to
forever.
Do.
Nobody's record is forever. Somebody's going to do it. Might as well be Golden State.
That's agreed. I mean, they do have a chance to do it. I just don't see, looking at that team, I don't see the toughness that it takes to pull off 72 games in such a long season. So, you know, there's a lot of things that go into that factor of everybody staying healthy, people getting
absolutely
rest when they need to, and stuff like that. But Royce, he holds a good point. Every record stands to be broken, so we do have the caliber of a team that stands before us that we could see that record broken this year. Maybe not shattered, maybe tied, but we have a chance. With the, like you said, if side of the brothers splash get to rolling, then it's kind of hard to stop those guys from putting up points no matter what the third quarter deficit is for them.
And yeah, you said the biggest key is staying healthy. If they can stay healthy, and that's you know, we know how that works in the NBA. You're lucky to make all 82 games, but these guys can stay healthy. Anything's possible. But, you know, we will see. At the end of the season, we will know for sure.
All right, well, it's something to definitely watch and kind of keep track of. It'd be fun. I mean, a lot of storylines in this whole season. And just to think, we're 20 minutes into this podcast about the NBA, and we haven't even talked about LeBron. So that tells you just how good the Warriors are and how good a lot of these other teams are, because usually every NBA debate nowadays is dominated by LeBron James talk. So let's go to our top five, bottom five is our kind of power rankings debate. So, Royce, as the elder statesman of the group, I'll give you the floor and let you give me your top five teams that you've seen so far.
Okay, I have to go with Golden State. I have to go with a surprise sleeper, it's Toronto. Cleveland, Chicago is another surprise sleeper to me. This team could be really good. And what is that, three? I'm about to say seven. That's it, San Antonio? Okay.
No. I think you said four, so start over.
Okay. Golden State, Cleveland, Toronto, San Antonio. It starts up between Dallas and Chicago.
Well, you got Dallas and Chicago on the same level?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Omid, what about you?
You don't know what you're going to get with those two teams. You just really don't.
Omid, who you got for your top five teams you've seen so far?
Top five, of course. We've got the Golden State Warriors. And I'm going to say Oklahoma City. They're battling back with Kevin Durant. Of course, Cleveland, they're coming back from a lot of injuries. That's three, four. For the Mavericks, I'm going to definitely put the Mavericks in there because number four. But I'm going to say number five, a team that kind of shocked me, and this was pulling off a win in double overtime yesterday, was Milwaukee. And I've never been a big fan of the Bucks, and you know, last time they made it to the playoffs, I remember they went in on a losing record and they kind of got dropped out, like, really quickly. But, you know, they're pulling off double overtime wins
against young team.
A pretty good Cleveland team right now. So I'm going to put them as number five, somebody to watch. Like I said, long game, long season to get through. But, yeah, let's take a look at Milwaukee in a couple more weeks.
Yeah, you know, I was wondering if someone's going to put them – in there because, of course, you mentioned that double overtime game, and that was the first game that Jabari Parker came back and played this season. So he's back and he's healthy. He had a good game. And right now the Bucks are right at 500 at 5-5. But, again, you know, they're only getting better. So that's actually a really good – that's really interesting kind of top five. They're really interesting. My top five, of course, the stars with Golden State. From there, I got to go San Antonio, then Cleveland. I've got to go Chicago. And then I've got to go Oklahoma City. The Mavs are going to – they're not quite in my top five yet. They got a big road kind of stretch coming up, so they make a move into my top five, but right now they're just not there. I got Oklahoma City there, and I like Chicago. I like what they're doing. And really, I could put Atlanta in my top five. I mean, they're 8-4. They've got four wins against all the other Eastern Conference teams. I mean, they're undefeated in their division, and they're 6-2 in the Eastern Conference. So, I mean, you can easily put them in there. Right.
In the plan, right.
And of all those teams that you guys have named so far, they've got the toughest – they've had the toughest schedule so far, and yet they're 8-4, and I guess you guys are not really believing in the Atlanta Hawks just yet.
Listen, I believe in them now, but it's what they're going to do later. They fell off last year. They had the second best record, and they didn't get any farther than the second round. So,
yeah, and sometimes disappointments like that are a little bit more than some teams are willing to deal with or can handle. But at this point, like I said, it's early in the season, and I'm willing to gamble when it's early. So let's see what those Bucks are talking about.
And they lost some key players, too, this year. They got a new guy in Spitters in. They lost Carroll, so I don't know. We'll see how that's going to work.
Yeah. Well, again, a lot more games left, so we won't waste a lot of time naming the bottom five teams, but I'd like to get you guys' opinion on who is the worst team in the NBA. For me, it's got to be the winless Philadelphia 76ers, who – you know, although Jahlil Okafor, we'll talk about rookies a little bit. He is the top rookie player right now. He's averaging roughly 20 points a game right now. But they haven't won a game. I mean, at 0-10, you got Brooklyn at 1-9. You've got New Orleans at 1-9. The Lakers, they won tonight, finally. They're really almost a blowout win, so now they're 2-8. Yeah, but, I mean, I still got the 76ers at 0-10 as the worst team in the association.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think it's a tie between them and the Lakers for the worst team.
Well, the Lakers is one tonight, though. And Kobe almost had a triple-double, so.
Yeah, but they've been the worst team I've seen. We had to go by sight, too. So. I had to go with Philadelphia and the Lakers second. New Orleans, big disappointment, and I had to go with Brooklyn.
I'm going to have to put the Lakers as the biggest disappointment of the season so far. Philadelphia, you pretty much expected them to suck when the season started. So you know what? It's Philadelphia. I didn't really expect them to be in the NBA this season. Let's just be honest.
They play college ball, huh?
Yeah. I other than the Philadelphia 76ers being a momentous historical NBA team, I figured that team would have been sold to Oak Cliff by now, as terrible as they've been doing. But
to go to a D-League team now.
Yeah, they should be out there playing in Frisco. But the Lakers, man, are the biggest disappointment. And I've said this again, granted Kobe's making his money and Kobe's still a threat, but I have to say Kobe's doing more damage to the Lakers franchise by holding that money and holding that spot and holding that team hostage on maybe what's Kobe's dying NBA wish or bucket list to do something else. But, man, at this point, here's my biggest disappointment. Congratulations for them to finally win another game tonight. But I was expecting Philadelphia and L.A. game to be the best game possibly this season.
Yeah, well, a Laker could be a whole show by itself. But, again, they won tonight. I just want to point that out to everyone. All right, let's end our show on kind of a preview of the week to come. We'll talk a little bit about some of these games coming up. I'll get you guys picks. Real quick, rapid fire again. We can go back and download our podcast at ntxgame.com. So let's jump into Monday's action. The Pacers take on the Bulls. They go to Chicago to face the Bulls. Omidy, what's your pick in this game?
I'm going to say as long as Derrick Rose is expected to be Derrick Rose, regardless, I'm always pick the Bulls over the Pacers. Since the 90s, since Jordan, I just always take Bulls over the Pacers. So I'm going to roll Bulls.
Royce, you got the Pacers with Monte Ellis and Paul George and George Hill going to Chicago to face the Bulls. I'll take the Bulls, too. Tuesday night, the biggest game Tuesday night has got to be the Raptors, who everyone likes, taking on the Warriors, going out to Golden State to face the Warriors. Omidy, what's your pick?
Golden State, hands down.
I don't know. This could be the one that they lose. Give me the Raptors and the upset. Even the Raptors in the upset. All right, then Thursday we've got a rematch that you talked about, Omidy. The Bucks traveling to Cleveland to take on the Cavs, and the Warriors taking on the Clippers. Omidy, what's your pick for both of those games?
I'm going to say Warriors. Warriors again, and this time Cleveland with the comeback, and they'll take that one.
All right, Royce?
LeBron's not going to lose twice to Milwaukee, so I had to go with Cleveland, and Golden State seem to own the Clippers right now.
Yeah, I take the Warriors on the road and give me the Cavs at home. I'm with you guys. All right, Saturday, two big games Saturday. You got the Bucks, the young Bucks taking on the Pacers, and you got the Hawks traveling to Cleveland to face the Cavs. Two Eastern Conference games. Omidy, what's your pick?
Oh, man, going to roll with LeBron again over the Hawks. And, you know, shout-out to the young Bucks, but I think the maturity and wisdom for that Indiana Pacers team is going to carry them to a victory there. And the Bucks will learn a couple things that will help them later on in the season.
I go with Omidy on that, Cleveland and Indiana.
Give me the Hawks on the upset over the Cavs on the road. And give me the Pacers to beat the Bucks at home. All right, Sunday, 1 week from today, you got two big games. The Raptors, who will be back on the West Coast taking on the Clippers, and the Mavs travel up 35 to face the Oklahoma City Thunder, and still kind of no word if Durant will be back for that game or not, but even though he still got to play Westbrook. So, Omidy, what's your pick in those two games?
I'm going to go with the Mavs. It's a short trip up 35, but, you know, Texas won the Red River Rivalry this year, so I'm going to roll with the Mavs with every game against Oklahoma City. And that other game was?
That was the Raptors taking the Clippers.
Oh, yeah, we're going to take the Clippers. That West Coast trip is always a tough one for a lot of teams to make, so I'm going to take the Clippers over the Raptors.
Who the Raptors actually lost last night to the Sacramento Kings. Kings went on 11-0 run to win that game. So I'm going to take the Clippers to beat the Raptors, and I'll take the Mavs to pull off the upset on the road against the Thunder. Royce, what's your pick?
That's a good pick. I'm going to take the upset. I'm going to say that the Raptors are going to upset the Clippers. And no Durant. I'm going to take the Mavericks with Durant. I'm about to go with Oklahoma City.
Wow, what a fan he is, huh? What a fan. I said, what a fan.
I'm not saying I'm not rooting for Dallas. I'm just saying if Kevin Durant's back, I think it'll be a comeback game for him. And if those two get out, Dallas is in trouble.
Well, that's our All-NBA podcast for this week. Make sure you check us out next week. Same time, same channel. Also, download the show at ntxgame.com. We got more podcasts coming up this week. We'll have our NFL podcast coming. And also, Omidy's Tailgate State, the return of Tailgate State. Until next time, thank you guys for listening. Tune in, ntxgame.com.